If you love true crime and dark stories, then you'll love our other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, with new episodes every Monday and Tuesday.
He told them that in the year prior to Bundy's move to Utah, she had discovered objects that she couldn't understand in her house and in Bundy's apartment. These items included crutches and a meat cleaver that was never used for cooking.
Just search Dark Side of Wikipedia wherever you download podcasts.
You know, then this guy gets rich and he has some issues with sexual addiction.
Yeah, and control.
Yeah.
The Keith Raniere story.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts and don't miss a single episode.
In some ways, it starts to make things like Jeffrey Dahmer and that look tame, not in terms of the brutality of what they performed, but in terms of the psychology and manipulation of people.
Dark Side of Wikipedia. Available wherever you download podcasts. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, who is the strange long-haired woman that appeared late at night to an unsuspecting soul in their bedroom? That's the question we ask today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. We would absolutely love to hear them. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want access to all of our extras, which we have so many of, quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories is what you get when you sign up to be an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And we're always adding to it. And you get exclusive access to our EPP bonus episodes, brand new ones every week that we put out with very different storytelling on it than the normal episodes. It's a fun addition. You get it as an EPP, and it's only there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. The new episodes, you also get them weeks before the release to the public, and all of it, no ads, commercial free. So if you like it with none of that, then you sign up. $5 a month, get access to all that. It's Tony and Carol on today's episode of the program. What's going on in your world?
Well, hey, Tony. Not a lot.
No.
You know, it's what, the first week of March or something like that?
Yeah.
This week, I get my second vaccination.
Well, hey.
I'm an essential worker, I guess.
Then you are vaccinated, right?
I'm actually very excited about it. Go science.
Yeah.
Like, it was totally a no-brainer to do it. Mm-hmm. But I'm a little nervous because everybody's like, the second one, watch out for that.
That's
so true, I'll keep you posted. I'll let you know.
Okay. So what day is it you're doing it? Tomorrow? When?
Friday.
Okay.
And it's Monday currently as we speak.
Yes.
But the first one, I got the Moderna, and the first vaccination felt like I had an extremely deep bruise. Like somebody had punched me really hard.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't lift my arm up.
And then suddenly you saw the mark and it was an upside down cross.
And I was like, ah, shit.
It's true.
It's like, that's not a deep bruise. It's a sign of the devil. Damn. Now what?
We just started a conspiracy theory, Carol.
Like you can't go out for coffee in a tank top with that. It's like, Carol, it's on your arm. Oh, that.
That.
I thought I was getting the vaccination. Obviously, I got the sign of the devil.
The mark of the beast. Moderna.
The whole thing is a hoax. Yeah. I should have known.
You were right.
I should have known it was just Satan.
That Reddit board
being
I was
injected.
Reading. It was all true. They said the mark would appear.
And I don't even have Reddit. What I meant to say is the things I've read that are supposedly on Reddit.
That came to me in an email.
I just saw the meme.
From my aunt's sister's mom's cousins. In southern Mississippi. They said they know somebody who this happened to.
And obviously, it was me.
It was copied and pasted, though, so people might have edited it along the way.
But that means it was true, because the more people that share that shit, the truer it is, because it wouldn't be shared if it wasn't true.
Oh, I don't get it. I know.
I know. So, yeah, the next coffee in a tank top is going to be awkward. We better bring a sweater.
We recently had a semi-COVID scare here, but as of this broadcast, as of this recording, nobody has had anything, and it was all cleared. My mom, I talked to her about it a little bit, and the next day I get some, you know, copied and pasted thing. You know, it's like, just so you're, you know, might want to read through this, just kind of some preparation stuff just in case. And it's like all this, I don't ever hear about this on the news or this or that.
Oh my God.
I'm like, oh God. And there were some things in there that were like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. I mean, it's like, you know, immune system building stuff. I'm like, okay. But some of it was just like, this is just, even if it is all legit, like, this is not a news source. This is not something to copy and paste.
And it's like, obviously, if you die from it, you had something else wrong.
I just don't get the copy and pasting of what somebody posts here to there and thinking it's like, oh, it's got to be legit. I mean, some are, a majority are not. You know, it's just, why? Tell them that it's human nature. Why do they do me this way? Reaching out into the email. Why do you send the senseless shit? It's made up. I just read it on Snopes.
Actually, I don't believe Snopes.
Snopes is a conspiracy
theory. It's a liberal thing that they just post in a bunch of bullshit.
Tell them that it's QAnon. Why? It's completely insane. Anyway.
Tell me that COVID's not true. Oh, why?
Give me why?
Do I get it that way? Why?
I like living insane. Insane. Okay. There we go. 855.
Anyway, I'll probably be growing a third boob or something like that with my vaccination.
Still in the sign of the upside down cross.
If I do grow a third boob, like, I could make some freak show money with that.
You could. You got to view it as NTR, non-traditional revenue.
Right.
Right there.
And it's like, I didn't want the third boob, but I made $50,000 with it this year. It's amazing. And then I'll start like some multi-level marketing scheme. Like, you could also have a third boob. Here's how you do it.
Just drink
this
juice.
And then you have to recruit other people.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on the road to the third boob. But you make it kind of like Scientology, where there's a lot of literature, and eventually you get to the top, and it's like, there is no third boob. What? Thank you
no,
for playing.
No, you got to start at the bottom and work your way up to the third boob again.
Thank you for playing.
And you got to pay $100,000 to me.
It's got to have some old...
And you can make sideshow money like I do.
Exactly. There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our first one. It says, hello, I'm just going to say I love your podcast. My friend showed it to me a while ago. I've already fallen in love. Let us start the story now. This happened at my old house when I was around 8 or 9. It was creepy. The foundation was made of bricks, and at some points, you could see through the floorboards into the basement. Not sure how old the house was, though. My room was near the right side of the house, right next to my parents' room and the bathroom. The first event is just eerie. My family had 3 cats when I was growing up, but used to have 5 before 2 of them died. But the strange part was, every night when I would go to sleep, one of my cats, the only girl, would meow at my door constantly. Not the usual for cats to do, but when I would eventually open my door to let her inside of my room, she would go to this one section of my wall and meow. Every night she'd meow at this one part of the wall right next to my door for at least 5 minutes each time. The other side of that wall was behind my parents' closet, so I'm not sure what she could have been meowing at, if she were meowing at anything specific. Just unsettling. The other event happened a year or so before my family moved houses, and I swear I saw a ghost or angel. It was a weekend, and I had woken up in the middle of the night for seemingly no reason. It happened a lot when I was little, so it was nothing unusual. But when I opened my eyes, I slept on my side, I saw a glowing blue outline of a woman. It looked like a young lady, but was outlined with a bright, glowing blue. She did not look like anyone I knew, and no one had passed away recently, not anyone I knew in the last 4 to 5 years. She had at least shoulder-length hair, but I could not make out if it went any longer. I could not see any color. I had a feeling she had blonde hair. I'm not sure what exactly I felt the way, or why exactly I felt that way, and I still do. I only saw the woman for a split second, but I can recall her so clearly. I just have a gut feeling she had blonde hair. She vanished after that, and I only have a slight hunch who it could have been if it was a ghost paranormal activity. Before I was born, my great-grandmother on my mom's side of my family had passed away. She knew who I was and that I was going to be born, but she was not alive to see me. So my hunches, it could have been my great-grandma watching over me as I slept, making sure I was safe. Makes me feel better about it than a random ghost watching me sleep. Nothing noticeable has happened since then. Besides, I developed sleep paralysis like hallucinations at my new house, and I've seen a green outline of a man's coming towards me after I fell asleep while my friend was there, along with random shapes and shadow people around my room. But the hallucinations had stopped for now, only spiking when I lost my great uncle and other heightened emotions had stayed with me while I slept. I can always send more stuff about my hallucinations relating to my sleep paralysis, but I do not think it's very paranormal. So I skip most of that. I could ask my friend if I can share some of her stories for her, since she's had more paranormal stuff happen to her than I have. Hope this gets on the air and you can help my worries get to rest. Thoughts?
Okay, my number one thought, let's go to the cats.
Okay.
Just let that one go. Because, for a number of reasons. One is, while you're telling that story, I'm literally watching my young cat try to hide behind a cushion in my chair. Mm-hmm. That was right after she was literally trying to climb the wall. So cats are just weird, and they do weird shit like that. And I have an old cat in the middle of the night that just randomly just starts meow every night. So I just think cats can be weird, you know, because like her cat meows at the wall, my cat tries to climb it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that I'd read a lot into the cat.
Okay.
Because my cat is like determined to like try to hide behind the sofa cushion or the chair cushion right now.
Yeah.
Like for no reason. She's never done that before, but all of a sudden there's something there. But then the other one, like I totally do think that could be your grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know, I absolutely do. I just think that sometimes, even though you never knew a grandmother, doesn't mean that person isn't aware of you. I don't know. Like, I mean, who knows exactly? Nobody. But I just feel like, you know, if your grandmother knew you were coming into this world, she would want to know you.
I think all
the time. She would want to watch out for you. I think it's a beautiful thing. And I hope that, like, if that ever happens again, she kind of finds comfort in that.
Mm-hmm. I think we have that happen all the time, and I don't even think it's always even the grandparents that would have kind of been on the cusp of you coming into the world and knowing that you are on the way. I think many times people have guardian grandparents or aunts, uncles, whoever's close in that family that's passed on that may not have even been around when you came about, but they're still there and they're watching out for their family and they know who you are, but you don't necessarily know them yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So I would like to think that's who that is. I hope that rather than being scared by that, you would think, hey, that was a beautiful thing that happened.
Exactly.
And how fortunate would you be to have that happen? Really, when you think about it.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful thing to happen.
It is. Thank you for sharing that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's go to this one that was sent in directly to us. Somebody emailed it in, and you can do that too if you ever want to send in it just from your phone. If you record the audio file, you can send it to me, tony@realghoststoriesonline.com.
I am calling in from Southern Alberta, and I'll just keep my name anonymous. I will call myself T. And in 1999, I was married and we had a 2-year-old at that time. We We moved from Northern Alberta down to Calgary, and we had purchased a home, a two-story house in the southeast part of Calgary. So when we originally looked at the house, I thought it was kind of odd that the realtor didn't answer a question that I always asked when purchasing a home. Did anybody die in this house? All I did was think that maybe he didn't hear me. However, that wasn't the case as we proceeded to buy the home, move into the home, and live there for a while. We realized that there was something going on in the house. So at the time that we moved from Northern Alberta to Calgary, it was April, the very beginning of April, end of March, say, of 1999. And I was approximately 1 month away from giving birth at that time. And so when we moved in, got settled, of course you're going to hear noises in the house, etc. And I would put my son down for a nap on the sofa on the main floor, and I would go upstairs and make beds and then clean up or whatever I had to do. And so that was probably, you know, second week in April, that I would hear noises and stuff. Like, I could hear downstairs, like some child was running around or something. And I'm thinking, can I hear the house next door? Like, kids are running around in their house next door? Or is my son up again? So I yelled downstairs and I said, come upstairs, I'm making beds and stuff. And nothing happened, like nobody came upstairs. So I thought, what the heck is going on? I figured maybe he was into something. I went downstairs and he stretched out on the sofa, sleeping. So I thought, okay, I'm just hearing things. So a few days later, I'm laying in bed trying to catch a few more Z's before my husband was in the bathroom getting ready for work in the ensuite. And my son was sitting at the end of the bed playing with toys. So I doze on and off, and of course I'm tired even more because it's closer to the time I'm going to give birth. And I hear my son say, stop touching my toys, those are my toys. And he, I figured, was getting mad at his dad. I thought maybe his dad was teasing him. But I went to look to see who he was talking to, and nobody was there. So I asked him, who are you talking to? He said, Auntie. Auntie? Where's Auntie? Right there. And he points across the bed to nobody. At this point, I'm wondering, the aunties that he was used to was a nanny we had when we lived up north and we had a company up there. So we had a Filipino nanny, and he called her Auntie. And so I don't know, I just figured I'm just going to go in and talk to my husband. So I did. Spoke with him and told him what happened. And I said, well, you know, the only auntie he would know would be like Amelita. And maybe she you know, maybe he's seeing your mom or something, or maybe he's confusing her with your mom that he's never met, or I don't know, maybe she's come back to visit from the other side or something. I had not met his mother ever, and but his mother died when he was 18, and she had dark hair, or dark brown hair, and I don't know. I was grasping at straws at this point, so anyway, when my husband went to work, he was looking into the house records through real estate, how many times the house has been sold, etc., etc. Well, it was just odd that the house was only 8 years old at that point, and we were the seventh owner. So it kind of made you wonder what was going on. And we also questioned the fact that the realtor that we bought the property from, or we saw the property with, had actually resigned from being the listing realtor when we went to buy the property. We found out later why. We had ended up by asking the past realtor what had happened, and he said, "So you never found out why I quit being the listing realtor?" We said, "No." He said he was a listing realtor. We also saw it with him. He stopped his duties because legally, nobody had to at that time tell that there was any death in the house. That's why he never answered my question. Morally, he wanted us to know. But the owners did not want to say. They just wanted out. So he resigned from that, being the listing realtor, and from selling it to us. So the things that were starting to happen in the house concerned us, because there had already been knocking at a door, the front door, and or it sounded like it was coming from the front door, and there was nobody at the front door. There was nobody down in the basement, walkout basement. There was nobody, of course, able to get to the back door on the second floor deck, because there was no stairs going downstairs. We found out that when we had hired, a year later, we had hired a lady to come in and be a live-in nanny, that she was saying that there was, the door was unlocked in the walkout door at night. She had locked it, and then the next morning it'd be unlocked. So she told us that, and I said, "No, maybe you just thought you locked it." And she said, "No, I did." So that night I went down with her, locked the door, all that stuff, and next morning it was unlocked again. So obviously these things that were happening in the house were from an incident that took place approximately 8-9 years prior to. They found out that there were there was a murder-suicide in that house approximately a year after it was built by the original owners. And it all fit in, because sometimes I would be sitting in the living room and it felt like somebody was watching me from behind, from the kitchen. And also. There were other incidents that were taking place that showed that there was somebody there, like when my oldest daughter came to visit. She was in one of the front bedrooms, and it had like a turret type bay window kind of front of the bedroom, and the windows kind of opened up, like you cranked it open and kind of opened up from the bottom outwards. And my daughter said to me, she was probably 7 at that time. No, maybe 8 at that time. And she said, "Mom, I closed the window before I went to sleep. Why did you open it up?" I said, "I didn't. I didn't open it up at all." So I went to close it and I started cranking it and slammed shut. Or there had been an incident where the baby would scream her head off and wouldn't stop crying many times when at nighttime. So every time we go in or we left a Bible in there, she calmed down. Finally, it got to the point where the same night I was so paranoid that maybe something was in there with her, so we brought the baby to bed. There was incidents that made you wonder, question whether somebody really was there. But it, when I found out exactly what happened in the house, that the original owner had convinced his wife that he wasn't depressed anymore and he could get his rifles back or his guns back. She gave him back the guns, took the 12-year-old girl shopping, and left an 8-year-old child at home with her dad. I guess she had some issues, mental issues, and possibly at an age of like a 2-year-old mental capacity. And he shot her in the chest, I believe, in the kitchen, right approximately where I would have that person stand behind me, watching me from the kitchen, or that spirit, the little girl that had been shot. The father had shot himself in the entry where you come from the garage into the house and shot himself there. So, all these little things happening in that house, I would think the little girl is still there. When I went to sell the house, I did say that there was a murder-suicide in that house. However, I didn't know for sure 100% that something was happening in that house. There was odd things that happened, etc., but there was no proof. One thing I must point out, that I found the owners that originally built the house and the husband that killed his little girl and then killed himself. They were Asian, and like my son's nanny, she was Asian as well. So I think that he could see the little girl and somehow associated her with his nanny.
Interesting antidote to the story for how a child would recognize someone.
You know, how could you live in a home like when something that horrific had happened?
Yeah.
And not have something left in the house?
No.
you know?
Yeah, it's going to be there.
Like, that was a horrific thing. And then, you know, for the other family members to come home and discover it, as I'm sure that happened, you know, just, I just can't imagine. I can't imagine.
No, it's horrific. I mean, it is utterly horrific, and you can't wrap, no one sane can wrap their mind around what is going through someone's mind in that sort of case where you're thinking that way of harming your child.
Oh my God, and a child, and a disabled child at that.
Yeah. No, it's...
Like, it's just so sad.
I didn't think there's any way to understand it.
And she turned around and told the next people what had happened.
Yeah.
Like, that she thinks that there might be something, but you can't prove it. And I mean, really, can you ever prove something like that?
And I mean, not on demand or anything. No, but it's like, you know, it's up to you if you want to reveal that when you're selling a home, you know, that
the right thing.
Yeah, I think she did. You have to reveal the, at least in the U.S., you have to reveal if there was a murder or a death. But you do not have to necessarily give the details. That's up to the individuals to go figure out, you know, what actually happened, if they can find the details of what actually happened. I don't know what the laws are in Canada.
I just think something that horrific. I mean, how could it not leave some sort of, I don't know, something behind? And I just hate to think the little girl can't move on.
Yeah.
You know, you just want her to be at peace. She had such a difficult life, I'm sure. I don't know what her disability was. Yeah. But any child who's disabled, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It's an uphill battle their whole little lives. And then to die in such a horrific way, all of that's so unfair.
Yeah.
You know, I think she just deserves peace. And that shit I don't get. That's the stuff I don't get in this life or the next.
And that no one can. I mean, because anything that's equating to let's do that in anyone's mind, it's things are not firing correctly. You know, that's not a... I don't believe humans inherently can, like, really... That's what you want. There's something wrong if that's what's happening. And, you know, I don't know. I just do not know. That will wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. And EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of our bonus material and so much more, and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening.